What do you think about when you think of Memorial Day? I know for the kids, it's the start of their summer break. In fact, when I picked up Anna, well, actually, I didn't pick her up this week. My mom did. But at the end of school, she said, when I was going to pick her up, she said, "I'm going to scream, summer!" So a lot of kids think Memorial Day is the start of their summer vacation. Many of us think about Memorial Day and we think about barbecue in the backyard, grilling hamburgers, going to the lake, family get-togethers, all those good things. I think it would be good for us to consider what Memorial Day really represents. I mean, its very name calls us to remember. Cindy and I and the kids were out traveling yesterday. We went to Cades Cove to see if we could see a bear. Nobody stops to look at deer anymore when they're in Cades Cove. They just, you know, they're there to see a bear. So unfortunately, we did not see one yesterday. But on the way, we saw several flags hanging at different places put there because of Memorial Day weekend. However, a lot of them had signs posted under them that said, "Thank you, veterans." Well, there's a difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. A Memorial Day honors those who lost their life during conflict, during a battle, during a war. The ability to remember is a wonderful gift that God has given us. I mean, when you think about it, because of our memories, we can be a child again. We can remember things from our childhood, like skipping rocks across the pond or running from cows or whatever the case might be. We can think about walking in a meadow or fishing with our dad or any of those things. Memory is a wonderful thing. Through our memories, we can remember falling in love and getting married and enjoying the birth of our children over and again. All of that's possible through the gift of memory. Memory is a very precious thing. Just a couple weekends ago, we were visiting with my grandmother who has Alzheimer's, and we were celebrating her birthday. And as we were in the room, all of us were there, and we were all saying goodbye. And she doesn't remember many of us. Sometimes she might remember my mom or one of my aunts or my uncle. But as I was leaving that day, I reached down and kissed her on the forehead to tell her I love her. And she said, "This is the best day ever." And, of course, I took pride in that because I'm her favorite grandson. And I said, "That's right." However, earlier in the visit, she did look at me with a very stern look and shook her head no, which is something that I saw quite often growing up as well. Memory is a precious thing. Some of our memories are happy because we recall wonderful experiences. Some of them are sad, and we may weep as a result of those memories. But memories are also very practical. I mean, if we couldn't remember that a red light means to stop, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If we weren't able to remember that today is Sunday or what the date of your anniversary is or, well, what the date of your wife's birthday is, you'd be in big trouble. Thank you, Rick. Sometimes our memory fades. Sometimes memories even fail. Sometimes we just forget. But there are some things that we should never forget. And Memorial Day commemorates some of those things. Memorial Day actually started near the end of the Civil War. And within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread throughout both the North and the South. And it was being called by almost everyone Decoration Day. After World War I, it became a national holiday that was dedicated to the remembering of those who had made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom that we enjoy. But people tend to be forgetful, and sometimes we need help to jog our memory. Sometimes we can be forgetful about the important events that we find in Scripture, the important things that God did for his people and that God continues to do for us. And in the Bible, we find that God gives us several reminders. Think about this. In Genesis 9, after God destroyed the earth in a flood, he told Noah, "I'll establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God went on to say, "I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So every time we see a rainbow, it serves as a reminder of God's promise to us. Another memorial was built in the time of Joshua as he led the people of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. If you remember from the story, as the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River, the river stopped flowing and it parted for all of the people to cross by. And the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan River, and all the people passed by to the other side. While they were crossing, Joshua told 12 men, from each of the 12 tribes, to go into the middle of the river and to select 12 large stones to put them on their shoulder. These weren't pebbles that they picked up. These were large stones. And they brought those stones to the riverbank, and there they stacked those stones into a monument. And in Joshua 4, verses 6 and 7, which is kind of the key passage for this morning, here's what it says. It says that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. A memorial forever. There are special days and times in the Bible designed to help us remember specific events. So I want to call your attention to three of those this morning as we think about remembering. Hopefully you know the stories behind each one of these, but I want you to listen closely again to see how God uses these things to help us remember very important things in God's Word. Let's pray together. God, we ask this morning that you would come and that you would speak to us. God, that you would speak clearly to us. God, that you would remind us once again how great you are. God, that you have put those things in place for us to remember just how good and how great you are. So God, would you call us once again to remembrance today? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The first event I want to take you to is the Feast of the Passover. Many of you may know the history behind the Passover. The people of Israel had been sojourners in Egypt, and then they were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And then God called Moses. And Moses, he said to Moses, "I want you to go back to Egypt." You remember Moses had escaped from Egypt. And Moses, "I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go." I always like to sing that. I mean, you know the Charlton Heston, you know, movie. Let my people go, right? Let my people go. So Moses did as God commanded. He went back to Egypt and he walked in to Pharaoh and told him exactly what God had said. But Pharaoh refused to listen. So God did something unique. He sent plagues to Egypt, plague after plague. And every time when the plague was at its worst, Pharaoh would relent and would want the plague to stop, and he would tell Moses that he would let the people go. But when the plague ended, he went back on his promise, and he continued to enslave God's people. So finally, in Exodus 11, Moses tells the Egyptian officials, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. And God gave some instructions to the Israelites that each family was to choose a year-old lamb, one without spot or blemish, the best in all of its flocks. And they were to take that lamb and they were to sacrifice it, and they were to take hyssop and dip it in the blood, and they were to paint the doorpost and the lintels with the blood. And why did they do that? Because when God would pass through the land, he would see the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and he would pass over them, and their children would be spared. So that's exactly what the Jewish people did. They took hyssop, they dipped it in the blood, they put it on the doorframe, and that night, just as God had told them, he brought judgment upon Egypt, and there was weeping and wailing in the homes of the Egyptians. But wherever God saw the blood of the lamb, those homes were spared. The next morning, Exodus 12 records that the Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So finally, after 400 years of bondage, God's people were set free from captivity in Egypt. And here's what the Lord says in Exodus 12, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as the feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." Since that day, over 3,500 years have passed, and every year, faithful Jews still celebrate the Passover. They still have a Passover feast to remember what God had done for them to set them free from Egypt. It's important that we don't forget either, because the Passover, as we will learn, is actually a picture of what God did for us through Jesus, through his spilt blood that takes away the sin of the world. The second memorial that I want to mention this morning is the day of worship. The day of worship actually started all the way in the beginning. All the way back to Genesis, we know from Genesis 1:1 that God created the heavens and the earth. God worked 6 days in creation, and on the seventh day, he rested. And the Bible tells us that God consecrated that day and called it the Sabbath. That is a day of rest, a day for rest. In the Ten Commandments, God told the Jews that they were to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So the Sabbath became a day of worship and a day of rest. As one of my former Sunday school teachers said, a day of delight. A day of delight. Centuries has passed, and by the time Jesus stepped onto the scenes, Sabbath had taken a whole new meaning for the Jews. It was no longer a day of rest, but a day of rules. In fact, it became so bad that Jesus cried out to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 2, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." When Jesus was crucified and buried and then raised from the dead, he was raised on the first day of the week. It's interesting that as you read through those events and you come to the book of Acts, as the early believers were there at the day of Pentecost, that happened also on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and the church began as the message of the risen Christ was proclaimed, and 3,000 responded to the gospel. Soon, early Christians were meeting regularly upon the first day of the week to worship God and to encourage one another. And in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John spoke of this day of worship as the Lord's Day. And so it is to those of us who gather to worship him on this day. It's the Lord's Day. It's a day of remembrance for us to think about how good God is. It's a day of rest, a holy day. And I pray that every time we meet, that we will recognize that we have come to meet a holy and a righteous God. That you prepare yourself to come to worship. That you remember what God has done for us. And that we take time to worship God for who he is, and to rededicate ourselves to him. A day of worship. Finally, the last event that I want to point you to this morning is a meal of remembrance. This happened the night before Jesus' crucifixion. It's the night that Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room, and they were celebrating Passover together. Yeah, that same Passover that we just talked about a few minutes ago, celebrating together. It was to be an evening of remembering. Remembering what God had done so long ago for the Jewish people to bring them out of the bondage of slavery. But as they ate, Jesus gave them something new, possibly something greater to remember. In 1 Corinthians 11, as Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he reminds them that Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Many times as I've read this passage and as we've looked at this passage, as we do communion, I've wondered what Jesus was talking about when he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Do you know why he mentioned the cup and the new covenant? You see, part of the Passover meal was the blessing of the cups, and there were four cups. And by this point in the meal, Jesus was at the third cup, which is actually the cup of redemption. And Jesus is pointing out very clearly that the cup that he's holding is a symbol of what's about to take place in his own life, that he's going to be crucified on the cross, that his blood is going to be spilt for our redemption, like the lamb's blood was spilt for the redemption of the Jewish people, so that they were not, so the firstborns were not taken. Jesus was the fulfillment of a prophecy that God had made centuries before through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 31, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Aren't you thankful for that promise? Because that's been fulfilled through Jesus, through his death, his burial, and resurrection. We have been forgiven our iniquity, and he remembers our sin no more. So as Jesus is having the Passover with his disciples, he tells them something greater. This means something greater. The bread and the wine is something more than just a remembrance of the past freedom from bondage. It is now going to be the symbol of your freedom from sin. The bread and the cup are the eternal reminders of Jesus, of his sacrifice and his love for us. And I think that's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," a memorial to him. When Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In other words, when we take the cup and we take the bread, we are proclaiming to the world that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, that he is the Son of God who lived a sinless life, who died a substitutionary death on the cross for us. And if we place our faith in him, we can be made free. Our sins can be forgiven and we can be redeemed. We're proclaiming to the world that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the power that it has to save. The cup of blessing in 1 Corinthians 10 that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. In Christ there is unity among us. All of us, every single one of us, if we're honest, we've traveled a pretty dusty road. The Bible says that we've all sinned, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all of us, every single one of us, are not worthy to be here. The great truth is, we're not here because we're worthy. We're here because God is gracious and because God is merciful. God invites us in Matthew 11 to come to him all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a lot for us to remember. Whatever you do, don't forget how we got here. Don't forget the price that has been paid for us. Don't forget that we can live in freedom and enjoy the blessings that God has given us, not because of the soldiers who died so that we could have this freedom, but because of Jesus who died for us so that we can have true freedom. Don't ever forget the freedom that we have in Christ. A few years ago, there was a very young and very successful business person. He was traveling down the road in Chicago in one of the neighborhoods. He was going a bit too fast in his brand new sports car. Pretty proud of that sports car. He was watching carefully as he sped past the neighborhood, past the apartment buildings and the row houses and all those things, because he didn't want to hit any kids that might dart out in the road. He slowed down when he saw something. He thought a kid might run out in front of him. And as his car passed the spot, a kid didn't run out, but a brick did and hit the side of his beautiful little sports car. You can imagine that, right? Right in the side. Well, as you might expect, and as most of us would probably do, he screeched to a halt to see what was going on. Backed up to the spot where the brick had been thrown, jumped out of the car, quickly found the child who had thrown it, and started questioning him, shouting at him, What are you doing? Why did you throw a brick and hit my car? As you imagine, his emotions were pretty, well, he got heated really fast. It's my brand new car. I felt that way, by the way, a couple weeks ago. I was pulled into the parking lot of the hospital, and I was going real slow because it's hard to find a parking place over there. And about that time, I heard thump, and a little lady in a little truck backed right into my truck. So I could understand what this guy's feeling. And he asked the kid, "Why did you throw it? Why did you throw that brick and hit my brand new sports car? This is going to cost you a lot." And he said, "Please, sir, please, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one would stop." And tears were beginning to flow down the boy's cheeks. And he pointed around the parked car, and on the sidewalk, there lay a person there. He said, "It's my brother. He rolled off the curb and he fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him back up." So crying, sobbing, the little boy pled with the man, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt and he's too heavy for me to pick up." Well, you can imagine, brokenhearted, moved beyond words, this young business person tried to kind of swallow that lump that was swelling up in his throat and went over and he helped the young man back into his wheelchair. And he took out a handkerchief from his pocket and he wiped off the scrapes and the cuts and made sure his brother was okay. And he walked with them back to their apartment, helped them get back into the house. It was a long walk back to his car. A long, slow walk. He never did fix the door of his car. He kept the dent there to remind him not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick to get your attention. Think if we took a moment and remembered a few things. All of us have some dents, some reminders that God has placed in our lives so that we would never forget. So as we remember our fallen soldiers on Memorial Day, we do need to thank God for their sacrifice. We don't ever want to belittle that. And we thank them. But we also need to remember the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus so that we could have true freedom. Would you just bow your head where you're at this morning? Take time this morning to think about those reminders that God has placed in your life. That you would never forget.